This book is dedicated to Avery Reed Schreiner and Austin Marshall Schreiner, my new twin grandchildren. They represent my hope for the future. Introduction. My colleague Phil tripped down his basement steps and landed hard on his head. For a few moments, as he lay on the floor, his arms and shoulders tingling, he thought he was paralyzed. Too wobbly to stand up, he sat against a wall and assessed the damage. The tingling in his limbs meant that he still retained feeling, a good thing. His head and neck were throbbing. He could feel blood trickling down his back from a lacerated scalp. He knew that he needed to go to an ER so they could clean up the wound and check for broken bones and internal bleeding. He also knew he was in no shape to drive himself. It was a Saturday morning. Phil's wife and grown sons were not home. He was alone in his quiet suburban house. He pulled his cell phone out to call for help. As he scrolled through the names, he realized he didn't have a single friend nearby whom he felt comfortable calling in an emergency. He'd never made an effort to know his neighbors. Reluctant to call 911, since he wasn't gushing blood or having a heart attack, Phil tracked down the home number of a middle-aged couple a few houses away and dialed. A woman named Kay answered, someone he acknowledged on the street but had rarely spoken to. He explained his situation and Kay rushed over, entering Phil's home through an unlocked back door. She found Phil in the basement, helped him to his feet, and drove him to the local hospital, staying with him during the 5 hours he was examined. Yes, he'd suffered a concussion, the doctor said, and he'd be in pain for a few weeks, but nothing was broken, and he'd recover. Kay drove him back to his house. Resting in his dark house later that day, Phil thought about how close he had come to disaster. He recalled the moment when his head hit the floor, the bright, brittle sound at impact, like a hammer coming down on a marble counter and shattering the stone into tiny pieces. He remembered the electrical charge coursing through his limbs and the terror he felt at the prospect of never walking again. He thought about how lucky he was. But Phil's fall triggered more than gratitude for not being crippled. He also reflected on the remarkable kindness of his neighbor Kay, how she had selflessly given up her day for him. For the first time in years, he thought about how he was living his life. Phil told himself, I need to get better at making friends. Not because he might need people like Kay to save him in the future, but because he wanted to become more like Kay. Not all of us require a violent, life-threatening knock on the head to change our behavior. It only seems that way. This is a book about adult behavioral change. Why are we so bad at it? How do we get better at it? How do we choose what to change? How do we make others appreciate that we've changed? How can we strengthen our resolve to wrestle with the timeless, omnipresent challenge any successful person must stare down, becoming the person we want to be? To answer these questions, I'll begin by focusing on triggers in our environment. Their impact is profound. A trigger is any stimulus that reshapes our thoughts and actions. In every waking hour, we are being triggered by people, events, and circumstances that have the potential to change us. These triggers appear suddenly and unexpectedly. They can be major moments like Phil's concussion or as minor as a paper cut. They can be pleasant, like a teacher's praise that elevates our discipline and ambition and turns our life around 180 degrees. Or they can be counterproductive, like an ice cream cone that tempts us off our diet or peer pressure that confuses us into doing something we know is wrong. They can stir up our competitive instincts from the common workplace carrot of a bigger paycheck to the annoying sight of a rival outdistancing us. They can drain us, like the news that a loved one is seriously ill or that our company is up for sale. They can be as elemental as the sound of rain, triggering a sweet memory. Triggers are practically infinite in number. Where do they come from? Why do they make us behave against our interests? Why are we oblivious to them? How do we pinpoint the triggering moments that anger us or throw us off course or make us feel that all is right with the world so we can avoid the bad ones, repeat the good ones? How do we make triggers work for us? Our environment is the most potent triggering mechanism in our lives.